For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
For their lives, just thank God for whatever they are to you, what they mean to you. Just thank God, bless God for them, and lift them into God's hands. Let's pray that God will bless them and keep them and protect them and watch over them. Some of you ought to pray for longevity. Just pray that God will keep our fathers safe. Yes, Jesus. Yes. 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 Then I want you to lift up your right hand to the heavens and thank God for fathers. Just bless God for the fathers that we have. The father of our denomination, Bishop Dag. The father that is under Bishop Dag here, Apostle Joel. Let's just bless God for every one of them. Let's thank God for our biological fathers, our spiritual fathers, and everything. Lord, we are grateful. We are indeed grateful. We are indeed grateful. We are indeed grateful. We are indeed grateful. To you be all the praise. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we are so grateful to you this morning. Thank you for this great opportunity to even remember fathers. We ask the Lord you would bless every father that we have, every father that has a child, a son, a daughter that is represented even in this church. Bless them. We ask also that you bless our father, Bishop Dag, our father in North America, Apostle Joel, and all the precious fathers that you've given to us. We say we are grateful. Keep them, protect them, preserve them, and continue to use them to bless us. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. Brother, you know, how many minutes do I have? I know today the pulpit is not just mine, so 30 minutes. Are you sure? If I preach 30 minutes, it will take us 11:15. Would you have enough 15 minutes to finish everything else? Okay. All right. Beautiful. Okay. So today I want to share something very briefly with you. Sometimes as a pastor, you feel that people know everything. Because I believe that everyone has heard, especially if you've been in this church for a while, you must have heard a message or two, or a message or three, or a message or four of some sort about fathers, because that's one of our strong, very strong teachings in the church. So it is as though everything that we say, we have said before. So this morning, I want to just remind you of a few things about fathers. Amen. You know, as I've grown a little more and aged a little more, my understanding of fathers is also changing and aging and maturing. And I'm understanding a lot more about fathers. And I pray that all of us get that understanding. You see, you don't have to be old to understand. You see, if one of the reasons why we have fathers is so we can get things when we are young, you don't have to get to a certain age before you learn things. Because when you have a father is ahead, and he can tell you that, look, when you get to this junction, this is what to expect. When you get to the other side, this is what to expect. So fathers are ahead, and they help us understand various things. Are you understanding?
Yes.
All right. Now, when you talk about fathers, I believe that one of the main, if not the only, I'm sure the other things, but one of the main things that really defines a father is honor. Okay? Let's look at Malachi 1 and verse 6. Malachi 1 and verse number 6. Do you have it? All right. What I'm sharing with you today is from this book, Those Who Are Dangerous Sons. All right. I won't tell you which chapter, but it's here. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Look at what it says. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? So God is complaining. Okay? God is complaining. There are a lot of things in this verse. But today I want us to look at just the father-son thing in here. Okay? So he says, a son honoreth his father. Then he goes on, he says, if then I be a father, where is my honor? So it is honoring that really defines the father-son relationship. If you call somebody a father, then that honor must be present. Without that honor, it cannot be a father-son relationship. So honor is what defines that relationship. Are you understanding? Yes. Now, what is honor? What is honor? I tried to look in the dictionary. I know you understand honor, and you have a lot of words for it. But I looked at a few synonyms, which means similar, isn't it, of the word honor. And the dictionary says to honor means to hold in great respect. All right? Hold in great respect. Hold in high esteem. Have a high regard for. Esteem. Respect. Admire. Defer to. Look up to. So you see, all these words explain what honor means. Okay? Holding high esteem. Holding honor. What did they say again? Esteem. Esteem, defer to, okay? So when you honor someone, the implication is that you respect the person so much that what the person says is what counts. What the person says is what holds, not what you say, okay? Now, Christianity is basically that kind of a relationship. That kind of a relationship. When you talk about the father of all spirits, the father of fathers, and that is God, the relationship we have with God is that kind. You see, so if you can't have that relationship with God, then you cannot be his follower. Bible says clearly that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you become a Christian, it's no longer your will. It is what God wills for you. You defer to God. You hold God in high esteem. You hold him high. What he says is what counts. Many times, you would, I'm sure it's the same, I would like to do certain things certain way because of how I feel. Do you see? Or maybe I'm upset or something. But you have to do it the way God wants it to be. See, and that is the same attitude that God expects us to have towards other people we call fathers. Are you understanding? Yes. Yeah. So the key is honor. It is honor. Without that word and without that action word, you cannot say somebody is a father. Yeah. Wow. I, not too long ago, a few weeks, a month ago, I said to the shepherd, I said, look, nobody should call me father, daddy, or dad, and all those things. I don't really sometimes enjoy it. Do you see? And I think it's a very risky word to use on people. Because when you call someone a father and you are not treating the person as a father, what you are rather inviting upon yourself is curses instead of blessings. Do you see? So I'm very happy. Don't just call me dad. Besides you, right? Don't just call me dad unless you really want to go the whole length of it. It's a very scary thing. So again, the underlying definition of a father is honor. Someone that you can esteem highly. Somebody that you can defer to. Somebody that wants, and everybody needs this. So I'll show you a few verses. You see, everybody, you need someone who can say stop it, and you stop. You know, you need someone who, even when you're on cloud 30, you know what I mean? You are in the highest point of uncontrolled status. You know, a father can say, stop it. Yeah. Yeah. Many years ago, Bishop Dang was telling us a story about, I think Archbishop Duncan Williams, who got divorced. And they asked him that, they asked Archbishop Duncan Williams, Action Center, that if Idahosa, Archbishop Idahosa, who was in Nigeria, died many years ago, who is Archbishop Duncan Williams' father, if he was alive, would he have divorced? He said no. They said, ask him why. He said, Archbishop Duncan Williams would have just said, stop it. He would do his hand like this. Idahosa would have just said, stop it. And then he stops. That's a father. You hold him in such high esteem that what he says is what counts. Yeah. I heard Bishop saying recently, one of his pastors packed his bag and left home. And then he called and said, go back home. And then he packed his bag and went back home. Ah, that's a father. You defer to, you esteem, you have such high respect that what he says is what counts. You see? So don't call somebody a father when you are not ready to do that. Wow. Yeah, you are wasting your time and you are rather bringing curses upon yourself. Amen. Amen. So if you can understand this, then you would also understand why our scripture for the week says what it says, which is, our scripture for the week is 1 Corinthians 4:15. Very appropriate scripture for the week. I wanted to incorporate in the preaching. That's why I didn't share it in the beginning. So he says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Are you understanding the word? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you understanding? Are you understanding the word without any gyrations this morning? To ask somebody, are you understanding the word without any gyrations this morning? I'm in a very solemn mood. I don't even feel like even moving around talking too much. I just want to give you a word and go and sit down. All right? It says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Do you get it? So what this verse is showing you is that there are not that many fathers. There are many instructors. Yeah, and I can tell you, as a pastor in this church, I am an instructor to many and a father to few. Yes. Because what actually tests the limit is when crisis comes, when push comes to push, that is when you can actually tell when somebody is ready. I mean, as for, oh, we like you, we love you, dad, pop, poppy, paps, pops, wimpa, and all those things. We can always dad, daddy, and we can always say it. Everyone can say it. But what actually defines it is when crisis hits and you are pushed to the wall and you are upset and you are boiling, can you still call somebody pops? Or daddy, you see, and that is why the Bible says that there are many, in fact, thousands of instructors, but you don't have many fathers. Wow. Yeah. So this morning, one of the challenges I want to give to you is that ask yourself that people who stand in front of you and minister to you every day, people who preach and you listen to their preachings, like Bishop Dag, people who lead us in this land, like Apostle Joel, and what are they to you? Are they just instructors or are they fathers? Because when somebody is a father, your respect for the person is so high. You know, I work in a very beautiful company, I'm very grateful to the person I work with, my boss, my CEO, because I have worked many years just as a mere pediatrician. She took me out of the ranks of many doctors and brought me into administration and helped me. I'm full of respect for her, such that sometimes even when I'm pushed so hard, I keep my mouth shut because I respect. And this is even the world, the secular. Do you understand? I can't tell you how many times in this church I've tried to do things my way, but I'm told, dude, I just flow because I see fathers. In fact, now I'm even afraid. I can't tell you everything. But because as I've moved on, I've seen examples of people around me who just spoke against fathers or turned their back against fathers, and I've seen the outcome. And I'm glad that I did not turn my back when I got upset. Are you understanding? So, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want you to ask yourself that people that you call fathers, are they really fathers? Or are they just instructors? And I'm saying to you that many people are just instructors. They are not fathers. Because you may like them, you may give them gifts, you may call them nice names, but when demonstration comes and you have to actually honor, as in honor, I know it's not buying a person a car, or buying a person a suit, or giving the person money, or giving them something. That is not honor. Even if it is, it's just the bottom line of it. Real honor is respecting the person, what the person has to say. When the person speaks, you listen. When the person says something, it means so much to you. That is honor. Amen. So God knew this, and that is why he said, look, you can't have many fathers. You can't. He knows the human best people. He knows our frailties. And he knows that it's going to be hard for human beings to relate to 10,000 people as fathers. So most leaders or spiritual leaders or other people become just mere instructors. Wow. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches clearly that there are rewards for honoring fathers. There are rewards for honoring fathers. When you honor a father, it is to your own advantage. It is to your own blessing. There are rewards associated with honoring fathers. I have 10 more minutes or so, right? Yes. I see Enoch calculating my time on his phone. Amen. Now, today I just want to share with you, I'll continue in a second. I just want to show you one of the blessings of honoring fathers. I know you know Ephesians verse already. Obey children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. I know you know that already. But let me show you one other. So the first reward is actually the blessing or the reward of being well with you, isn't it? Then the reward of living long. Okay, we know that already. That's in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Read that. Now, I want to show you another reward. Somebody say another reward. And that is the reward of receiving an inheritance. Okay? The reward of receiving an inheritance. What is an inheritance? When we say somebody has inherited, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that something has passed from a predecessor, isn't it? Somebody ahead of you to you. You didn't work for it. You see, some of the inheritance are genetic. Do you get it? Yes. You get an inheritance. Yesterday, somebody was telling me that my sons are very tall and I'm short, you know, which is true. And I said to the person that, yes, in my wife's family, there's also tall people. But in my family, there are also tall people. My mother's side is short and stocky. So it's an inheritance. It passed to me. My sons happen to pick those genes that predispose them to taller heights, isn't it? So they are taller. So when you talk about inheritance, it has to do with something passing on from a predecessor, somebody ahead of you, to you. Okay? Now, having said this, we would all appreciate this, that you cannot have an inheritance without a relationship. You understand? Emma, what's your last name? May, what do you mean by maiden or current? Maiden. Kanaku, right? So, I'm sure there are some genes in the Kanaku family, right? I don't have it because my last name is Fleischer. I don't have it. Neither do you have some genes from the Fleischer family because you don't have that relationship in that way. So, what I'm trying to show you is that you cannot have inheritance without a relationship. You can only inherit when there's a relationship. You see? Now, are you listening?
Yes.
One of the spiritual or one of the spiritual ways that God has laid for us to inherit is through fathers.
Amen.
To inherit through fathers. To inherit through fathers. God has, please, when you get to heaven, ask him why. I just don't know why. But this is how he made it, that you get things through fathers. If you can understand this properly, then you would also now learn and should learn how to treat fathers. Listen, there are some things that will not come to you. There are some, those of you who have been here a while, we talked about impartations. There are some things that will not pass to you without that relationship. You see, and those relationships need not be a biological relationship. They need not be a genetic relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. You see, and that is what God actually talks about in Ephesians 1:18. Look at Ephesians 1:18. Look at it. So he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." His inheritance in it originates from God. In the saints. It's something that God gives. And one of the major ways, if I don't know of any other way, that God will pass things to us is through that relationship of fathers.
Amen.
Are you understanding? Now, there's a very good example in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that we all like. We all know. We know we've written exams on it many times, and we've passed. All right? And that is the story of Elijah, J, and Elisha. Okay? Now, Elisha, how many of you know that Elisha had a genetic father? He had a father, biological father. Okay? But you note here that Elisha referred to Elijah as a father. We don't have time to read the whole story. But if you look at 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11, it clearly defines who Elisha's father was. It is Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Isn't it? Then when you go back to 2 Kings 2:12, you see here that Elisha called Elijah father. It says, "My father, my father, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him. This was when he was being taken up. Do you see? Yeah. Meanwhile, if you know the story, there were people who were standing on the touchline, watching from far, so-called sons of the prophets, church members, shepherds, people who are close or supposed to be close, who seem to be around. They've been around for a long time. They had been around longer than Elisha had been around. to even be qualified to be called sons of the prophet. I mean, when you talk about Elijah, these were people with him, so close to him that they were called sons. I dare say that they were not sons. They saw Elijah as an instructor.
You are preaching good.
Yes. Elijah was an instructor. So they were standing far off, watching. There are people in the church standing far off, watching, making comments, seeing faults, picking up mistakes, picking up things that we don't do well. How about the 20 things that we did well? Just like the sons of the prophet. They stood far and they did not get any spiritual inheritance. Yeah. One of the things that one bishop meets the pastor and he's talking to him, you can see his heart is grieved because he feels that the things that are occurring in his ministry, the teachings and the signs and wonders and the miracles and church growth and church planting and progression ministry, if we as pastors are real sons, then we should have inherited, or we should inherit some of these things, and these things should become evident in our lives. But we are more or less like sons of the prophet in Elijah's time, standing far and watching from far and making comments. This is wild, oh, it's working, oh. Wow, this thing did. Do you see Bishop did this? It's powerful. Do you see this person did? This person did. This person did that. This person did that. And that's all we do, just watching and commenting. And discouraging people. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, in a very simple way, my time is up as Enoch is looking at my face. I just want to tell you that have a different attitude towards fathers. Do you understand? If somebody can truly not be your father, find one. You are missing something. Find one that God can pass things through to you. Yeah. But let me also say that you cannot sometimes change fathers. Yeah. Can you change your biological father?
No.
It doesn't matter how he looks. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter even if he's a drunkard. It doesn't matter even if he's the worst of fathers. Maybe he didn't even look after you. He didn't contribute nothing to you. But he's still your father. And the principle still stands. Honor him. You cannot insult him. When you insult him, you are bringing nothing but curses. Yeah? It's in your interest. One day I was talking to a very young person in the church, and the person was complaining about his dad many years ago. And I said to him that I read this Ephesians 6:1-3. I said to him that would you go and cut off your hot water supply pipe to your house because it's rusty? I bet you if we were to dig around our homes, you'd be surprised how our pipes look like. Is that right, Pastor Kobe? Yeah, you may not even want to drink from it. But you dare not cut it off. Because when you cut it off, what happens is that you won't have water in the next few days. Yeah. So a father, no matter how you may feel about him or his deficiencies or his shortcomings or what you think. And by the way, when you are younger, there are a lot of things you don't even understand. So you see it in, your perception is just one through a small hole, pinhole, and you don't see the whole picture. But as you grow older, you would appreciate it more. But even if you don't, it's in your interest. Christine, are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Stephanie? Yes. As you get more anointed and you are singing more and more and more, you know, with grace and more anointing, just don't forget about fathers. Amen. This morning, I pray that God will bless you and God will cause you to benefit fully from the fathers that you have. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed.